There is a God who is alive, and what a wonderful thing it is to come together to worship and honor our living God, who's blessed us so richly today in so many ways. We're thankful for the beautiful day that we've been given, for the health to be here, for the love that God has given us that we experience every moment in our lives. In Him we live and we move and have our very being, and we're honored to be in His presence this morning. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Colossians this morning. And look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, as we consider the topic of faithfulness in our lesson. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul speaks to these brethren, and he says about them that you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh, through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. God has done a lot to bring us out of the filth of the world and into a beautiful relationship with him, cleansing us, making us, as Paul says, blameless and holy and above reproach in his sight. But then notice verse 23. There's a condition. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now the topic of the lesson this morning is faithfulness. You might note that the word faithfulness is not found in any of the verses that we read. But the concept of faithfulness is all over verse 23. If you look up faithfulness in Webster's dictionary, you'll find a number of synonyms that are listed for it. One of the synonyms is loyal. And the word loyal implies a firm resistance to any temptation to desert or to betray. Another synonym is the word constant, and that stresses a continuing firmness and emotional attachment. The word staunch suggests fortitude. Steadfast implies steady and unwavering in a course of love or allegiance or conviction. Resolute implies firm determination to adhere to a cause or a purpose. All of those synonyms of faithfulness are also implied in the verse that we read, and some of them are actually specifically used in that verse. When we think about faithfulness, we're thinking about someone or something, a quality that can be relied on. We're thinking about constancy and consistency and steadfastness and not being moved away, as Paul talks about right there in Colossians 1 and verse 23. Faithfulness. It's a quality and characteristic of God. And because it is a quality and characteristic of God, it needs to be a quality and characteristic of His children. Faithfulness ought to be in the DNA of Christians, as we are verily the children of God. Think with me about faithfulness as is demonstrated by God, and we're just going to touch on a few verses that illustrate His faithfulness of many, many, many that could be used from Scripture. God is faithful to help us and to protect us from evil. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. So as we live in this life, we can count as God's children, we can count on Him helping us along life's way, protecting us from the evil. The Lord instructed us, Jesus did, to pray, to lead us not into temptation, but to protect us, to guard us, to keep us from the evil one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. So we experience God's faithfulness all the time in our lives when we don't have to experience all of the evil that is in the world. God gives us ways to escape it. And providentially in our lives, every day, we see His faithfulness. For sure, there are going to be temptations, and for sure, the evil one is going to work evil in this world. But we can sure be protected from a lot of it because of God's wonderful faithfulness and providence in our lives, enabling a way of escape, enabling us to have the strength to overcome temptation, empowering us through the power of the gospel to face the challenges in this evil world. And all of that speaks to us of the faithfulness of God. God is faithful to keep His covenant and to keep His promises. The picture that is on the screen, which I don't think is showing up necessarily all that well, but it's a picture that was taken by my friend Leon Malden of Mount Ararat. And the mountain is shrouded in clouds in the picture, and you might notice a rainbow at the edge of the picture itself. I'm sure that's a pretty unusual thing to see a rainbow at Mount Ararat. This is a wonderful picture, and it reminds us of a promise, a covenant that God made with Noah, never to destroy the earth with water again. God is a promise keeper and a covenant keeper. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, Moses says to us, or to the children of Israel on that occasion, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments." We can rely on the promises of God, whatever those promises be. We can rely on God keeping His part of the covenant. And if we'll keep His commandments, we know He's going to keep His side of the covenant. We are absolutely certain of that. And what does that illustrate to us about God? His faithfulness. His steadfastness. That He can be counted on to be counted on. Here is the faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness is really illustrated to us every day, isn't it? We wake up in the morning, and God is there, and His mercies are with us. In the book of Lamentations, which is a book filled with sorrow and crying and grief, even in the depth of despair, Jeremiah, through inspiration, recognizes the marvelous faithfulness of God to bless His children. And he says, "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Jeremiah is talking about the fact that God could have, maybe even should have, totally wiped out the Israelites, totally wiped out Judah. They weren't deserving of continuing to be His people. They weren't deserving of even continuing to live. God would have been wholly justified had He just wiped them off the map and obliterated them entirely, never to return. But Jeremiah recognizes that that wasn't the way of God, that He kept Himself a remnant. He didn't obliterate them. It is through God's mercies that they weren't consumed, is what Jeremiah is saying. He's so faithful to be merciful, to be good beyond our reckoning, beyond anything that we could possibly deserve. And Jeremiah recognizes, even in the depths of his despair, even at the destruction of Jerusalem and all that God had allowed to happen to His people, still God's compassions did not fail. Still His mercy, His goodness is new every morning, and it illustrates God's faithfulness. I want to tell you about, and probably many, many of you have this experience, most of the time as I'm falling asleep at night, I try to pray. And I might just say a few things to the God of heaven, and I realize as I'm going to sleep that He's there. And many, many times when my eyes pop open in the morning, my first thought is, you know what? He's still there. And He's never not there. Even though some mornings maybe I don't remember that. He's never not there. Great is His faithfulness. And His mercies and His goodness are new every morning. This is the God we have, and this is the God we serve. This is the very nature of His character. His faithfulness, what I want us to understand as the basic principle and thought of our lesson this morning, is that the faithfulness of God compels our faithfulness. We are faithful. We become faithful because He is faithful. If you look at Hebrews 10 and verse 23, this concept is implied throughout Scripture. And I'm not going to, again, look at a whole lot of verses that illustrate this. I think you understand it. But just one verse, Hebrews 10 and verse 23, the writer says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith. Now, you might remember that the idea of holding fast to something and sticking with it and being counted on. That's what faithfulness is. So the writer's exhorting us, using this hortatory phraseology to exhort us, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. What's he saying? Let us be faithful. Why? For He is faithful that promised. We can hold fast to our confession of hope. We can stick with our faithfulness and be true to what we believe in and be true to our God, because our God is true to us. Because He who promised is faithful. You see the motivation then that we have. We're not dealing with the God who, you know, we've entered into a covenant with somebody, you know, a car dealer or somebody on the internet. You know, you make some deal on the internet on eBay or something like that, and you don't know who you're dealing with, and you don't know if they're going to come through or not. And maybe you're on the internet, you might have a conversation with somebody, and you don't even really know if they're who they say or not, or where they claim to be or anything like that. I regularly get emails from widows in Nigeria who have had wealthy husbands who've died and left them $10 million or $60 million, and they want to send it to me so that, you know, it can help with the work of the church here. All I have to do is send them my bank information, you know. I regularly get those kinds of things on the internet. Am I faithful to do that? Do I send them my bank information? No, I don't do that. Why not? I have no reason to expect that they're faithful. But if I really believed that they were faithful, if I had a reason to do that, I'd send them my bank information in a minute. You see, God's faithfulness, we can trust Him. He's made great and precious promises. We know that He's faithful. And therefore, we're faithful. He can count on us because we can count on Him. So many examples of faithfulness in Scripture. We could start now and be here till midnight at least, even touching on the many, many examples that we have. Let me share four with you. Think about what the Bible says about Hezekiah, good King Hezekiah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 20, and then stretching into chapter 32. Listen to what the Bible says. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, and so he prospered. Think about what's being said about Hezekiah. He did what was good and right. He did what was true before the Lord his God. In every work that he began, in everything he did with the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment, he did all of it. And you know what the next phrase, the next verse says about all of these things? It says, after these deeds of faithfulness, Sennacherib came. See, faithfulness in Hezekiah was just serving the Lord, the services of his household, keeping the commandments, doing all of that with all of his heart for all of his life. Here's the faithfulness of Hezekiah inspired by the faithfulness of God. And we can look more in depth at the life of Hezekiah, who certainly trusted God over and over and over again. Didn't matter if the enemy was death or if the enemy was the threat of a foreign power. Hezekiah impresses us by always trusting in the faithfulness of God. We have a man like Daniel, of whom it is said in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4, when the governors and the satraps tried to find something against Daniel to accuse him of before the king, it says that they could find no fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. And we know about Daniel's faithfulness. Daniel early on refused to eat of the king's dainties. You know, he was consistent in his dedication to serving the Lord in ceremonial cleanness. He was consistent in his prayer life. He was steadfast in his prayer life. Here under the threat of being killed, being eaten by lions, he continues to pray later on in this same chapter. And so Daniel is a sterling example of faithfulness. Moses is a great example of faithfulness. And when we look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, the writer says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who is faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house." Moses was so very faithful. And we're to look to not only Moses, but also Christ, who was faithful in all things, as we'll notice in just a minute. For in verses 5 and 6, "Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would afterward be spoken. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confession and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." So Moses was faithful. Whatever God asked him to do, he did. And except for the business of striking the rock when he should have spoken to the rock, which is why he couldn't enter the promised land, and his not honoring and hallowing the name of God in that process, Moses was so extraordinarily faithful, is held up to us here and elsewhere later in Hebrews chapter 11, and in the Old Testament as well, as this marvelous example of what faithfulness is all about, just a constant, steadfast compliance with the will of God. The Bible says he was faithful in all his house here. Faithful in all of that. Steadfast in all of it. And then we are members of that household, the text indicates. And in verses 5 and 6 that I just read, Moses was faithful as a servant. Christ as a son over his house is faithful, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence. We are to be faithful as Moses was, as Christ was, in the house of our Lord and as the children of God. I don't guess that as we think about characters who exhibit faithfulness, I'm not sure how many lessons most of the time when we think about faithful characters, Bible characters in God's Word, we might go to Hebrews 11 and talk about those heroes of faith. We might look at many examples of the Old and New Testaments as well. I'm not sure how many of those lessons include Jesus Christ as an example of faithfulness. But plainly, there's none better, is there? Could there be any better example of faithfulness than Jesus himself? The Hebrew writer is saying that Christ was faithful in all that God gave him to do. Jesus alludes to this many times in his earthly ministry. In John 17 and verse 4, as he's speaking to the Father in prayer, he says, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work that you have given me to do." Now there's faithfulness. God gives you a work to do, and you do it, and you do it well, and you finish it to completion. There's faithfulness. Steadfast determination to do the thing that God has given you to do, no matter what it takes, no matter what it costs, no matter what energy must be expended. Here's the faithfulness of Christ. "I've given you, I've finished," he says, "the things that you've given me to do." Earlier on in John chapter 8 and verses 28 and 29, Jesus said to the Jews, he says, when you lift up the Son of Man, and he's talking about his crucifixion, he says, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. The very description of faithfulness. Well, sometimes I do what God wants. That's the kind of attitude most people in the world today. You know, sometimes I do good. The faithfulness of Christ is defined in, I always do the things that please him. There's faithfulness. And in John 10 and verse 17, he says, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up. This command I receive from my Father. Christ was faithful unto death. Whatever the Lord asked of Jesus in his life, all the way up to and including the giving of his life in a horrendous death on a cross, Jesus was faithful. May his faithfulness, the faithfulness of Hezekiah, Daniel, and Moses, the faithfulness of God himself, be emulated and realized in our lives. We know the passage in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, where the Lord speaks to the church at Smyrna. He says, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Some years ago, a train was approaching the city of Montreal, Canada. The engineer saw up ahead a large dog on the track. The dog was barking furiously, quite agitated. The engineer hit the brakes and blew the whistle, but there was no way to stop the train. Still, the dog stayed on the track. Just as the engineer came upon the dog crouched down and extended himself across the track. The dog, of course, was struck by the locomotive and killed instantly. The engineer, as he looked at the accident as it occurred, noticed white piece of cloth fluttering into the wind. It was later discovered to be part of a child's dress. They found the mangled body of the dog, but also of the little girl who had apparently wandered onto the tracks and fallen asleep. The dog had been a constant companion. Faithful friend of a little girl. Failing to save her from the train, he did the only thing he could think of doing, I suppose, as a dog. And that is to lay down on top of her and give his life. I'm amazed, by the way, at the faithfulness of dogs. They're my second favorite animal next to humans. Why can't we learn that kind of faithfulness? What it means to be loyal and true and sacrificial. I don't know what dogs think, how they think, or if they think as far as that goes. That dog wasn't thinking about himself when he lay down on top of that girl. He was thinking about the one to whom he's faithful. In life, to be faithful to God, none of it's about us. all about you. The cost to us doesn't mean anything. But being true to Him, that means everything. When we talk about faithfulness sometimes, we talk about, well, somebody's not coming to church. They're not attending the assemblies. They're not faithful. I tell you that that's certainly an indication that a person's not faithful. It doesn't touch top side or bottom of faithfulness. Faithfulness involves so much, and it's not just the way we die. Primarily, it's the way we live. We exhibit faithfulness in life every day. This loyalty, this sticking with something, not giving up. We exhibit it in worship. Isn't that what the New Testament Christians did in Acts 2 and verse 42? They continued, what's the word? Steadfastly. What does that mean? Faithfully, continuing, keep on keeping on. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They didn't give up on worship. Never. They were steadfast in it. There's never a question of, well, are we going to go to church today or not? There's never a question of, am I going to pray today or not? They were steadfast in their prayers, as is indicated in that scripture. In Colossians 4 and verse 2, Paul says, continue earnestly in prayer. The very concept of faithfulness is in that command. Be faithful in your prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Bible study and application. Think about what James 1:25 says, talking about that perfect law of liberty, the Word of God. He says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, like we're looking into a mirror, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, this next phrase. And continues in it. What is that? Faithfulness. It's not reading your Bible one day. It's not, well, you know, I got class this coming Wednesday night and I better read my Bible over the lesson before class. And so one day a week we're reading our Bibles. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about continuing to look into that perfect law of liberty, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. So you look into it, and you go out and live it in your life, and you make application. There's faithfulness. And you don't just do it one time a week or every once in a while. It's the way you live your life. It's a constant steadfastness in your relationship with God through His Word, and letting that live in your life every day. There's faithfulness. Faithfulness in resisting Satan. There's never a day that you get up that you don't fight him. There'll be temptations. There'll be struggles. There'll be hardship. He'll cause all the pain in your life that he sees fit to cause if he thinks it'll get to you. But you wake up and you fight him. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, guess what? Steadfast in the faith. There are two words in that passage that are really referring to faithfulness. Being vigilant, keep on keeping on. And be steadfast in your faith in resisting Satan. It's a constant battle. I've had so many conversations with people over the years, you know, they come to me and they say, well, I'm having this temptation, I've fallen into this sin, and we talk about getting forgiveness and asking, repenting and asking God to forgive and trying to be stronger in the future and things we can do to overcome the sin in the future. But I tell them this virtually every time I have a talk like that with somebody. If you think you're not going to face this temptation again, you are not realistic. You have to fight Satan, whatever the temptation is. You better get up in the morning ready to fight him every single day. That is faithfulness. You don't take that armor off that God has given you until you walk into the heavenly city. And then you can lay it down. Faithfulness is fighting Satan every day. be faithful with our possessions, all that God has given us. One of the things that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2 is that it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God's given us all of this. It's really His. But He's let us use it all to His glory. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, Jesus had said, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much." If we're not doing with our possessions what God wants us to do, if we're selfish with them and self-serving with our possessions instead of using them to glorify God and to help our fellow man, if we're not faithful in those little things, we're not going to be faithful in the big things. And Jesus says that he that is faithful in least is faithful in much, but he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful with the unrighteous mammon, with the little things, with the wealth and the material things that we have in this world, if you've not been unfaithful with the unrighteous mammon, who's going to commit to you the true riches? If you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you truly what is your own, is the question that he asks. Well, we could go on with a lot of things, but hopefully we have established our point. Faithfulness. It's really, isn't it, a commitment to our Lord? It's a commitment that we make and renew every day. It's a keeping on, keeping on. In every aspect of our service and devotion to Him. We can count on God. The question of faithfulness is, can He count on us? One day the battle's going to be over. We're in a war right now. As I said, a war that we have to fight every day. There are those that make war with the Lamb, but the Bible tells us that the Lamb will overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with Him are called. You've been called this morning by the gospel. And if you've responded to the gospel, you've been chosen to be a child of God. So I'm talking this morning to people who've been called. If you've not responded to the gospel in obedience, you've not yet been chosen. Would you please allow yourself to be chosen, elect of God this morning, by responding to the gospel and saying, "Yes, I'll name the name of Jesus. I'll become one of God's children. I'll be baptized for the remission of my sins, that I might be part of the body of Christ." God has called us. He's chosen us if we've obeyed the gospel. And the question remains, will we be faithful? Because those who are with Him in the end, those who experience the ultimate victory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, are those who are called and chosen and faithful. And for some of us here, for most of us here, that's the only question that remains. Will you be faithful unto death? And are you faithful this morning? And if not, changes need to be made. A recommitment of your life needs to occur. Please come while we stand upon the stage.